Dit abbang khamami khamitabbang suki hantu. Welcome everyone for the weekly discussion in English media. Usually we are going to have about 1 hour for the discussion. And for that, we have an appointed sutta. Last time it was what was the sutta? Tissa Mitteya Sutta, and we almost finished it. And no, this is not the Sutta Nipata. This is Peta Vattu Pali. And so, before going to the formal traditional discussion. If someone is having any momentary comments or any reports or anything, we will take a few minutes and then we are going to start the formal discussion. So anyone joining with us in Zoom or in the audience, if you have any other comments or suggestion or topic to be discussed, I invite.
Asrai Bhante, we have received two reports and a poem. And with your permission, I'd like to present them today.
Two reports?
And a poem dedicated to you.
Okay, good. Yes, please.
Dear Bhante, I am 17 years old and this is my lying down meditation experience. Please advise me. I lie down comfortably and close my eyes. Instantly, I was made aware of a strong tightening of my heart. My breath was uneven and it felt as if someone was grasping onto my heart. However, it wasn't an unpleasant feeling, and now I recall this sensation to be a feeling of excitement. Whilst I was lying on my back, this sensation extended throughout my body, leaving my whole body, within brackets, particularly my stomach, in knots. It built this sort of tension in my body, and often I found it difficult to stay with my feeling as it overwhelmed me. Then out of nowhere, I felt burning tingling on my forehead, urging me to itch the spot. However, I attempted to focus on the itch, and soon it turned to a numbing sensation. But then the tingling sensation came back stronger than before, and I saw my need to resist the urge to give into my desires. After staying this with the sensation for a long time, as long as I can, I finally scratched the spot. I thought I would get a sense of satisfaction. But the contentment didn't come as my breath went back to focus on the tightening of my heart. I focused on the feeling for the remainder of my meditation and came out when it became too overwhelming. Whilst I felt overwhelmed in my meditation, when I came out, my mind seemed much more clearer. And I was finally able to focus on my schoolwork. Teruvan Saranai. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
So happy to start the new year session with the 17-year-old school child. And this is not the conventional meditation as such in sitting cross-legged and kind of thing. It's just something you lie down and you pay attention to your present moment. And it is on the breath, ultimately. And there you can see all the tingling, all the irritations, all the itchiness, every time in the body, if you see. But if you are unmindful, if you are in the past or future, if you are thinking of other things, that is not available. Like, that means you are not living, you are dreaming. All the day, usually, what they do is, you are living in a concept. Eccentric, we call. You are not in the center, you are in the either past or future, other place or other people. Whenever it is come to the here now, I am, whether you are lying or sitting or walking or standing, no difference. So, but it is not recommended for the beginners. Beginners, we say, do sitting meditation, do walking meditation. Balance you can do once you gain the grounds of mindfulness. Once the mindfulness come into being, everywhere, every object, every posture is a possible and possibility. So, but when you are come to the 17 years of age, if you can, you have this kind of vigilance, diligence, it's a sure prospect in the future life. Recently, there was an interview from Tanya and Tanya from the Sarvo there discussing and interviewing Richard Davidson, the best neuroscientist, and she asked 4 questions from Richard Davidson, and Richard Davidson gave a bright, state-of-art type answers. At last, he says, I recognize the Sarvo Devi Apare, which is a very famous one in Sri Lanka, and A.T. Ariratna, he is 90 years old, and he says, I am very happy to share my top-class experiment results with Sri Lanka. And I am sorry I can't come, but I can predict you. Follow Tanya and Sanya. There are questions. Not a single elderly person can't think about. Therefore, humankind's future is good. They are asking 4 questions. And next session was with John Kabat-Zinn. I had no chance yet to study it. Same 2 girls. Very bright, asking the top edge kind of experiment, what is your result, what is your opinion? So 17 years old, very good. So therefore, why don't you do normal sitting meditation as well as walking, and your report will be very, very, very juicy and sappy. We are going already to the next question, next statement.
Thank you, Bhante. That report was from Onaya.
Onaya, yes.
And this report is from Hasini, Manaya's sister. Dear Bhante, I am 14 years old and have been practicing for 3 years. This is my experience. Please advise me. Recently, when I sit down to meditate, I find that I go into the meditation with expectations. It's almost like I have planned out the meditation. When I go into my meditation, I am waiting for the nothingness to come, and I can't seem to enter that state because I expect it to come and I'm drifting further away from the awareness of awareness. I cannot seem to let go of these expectations. Terwan Sarnai, Hasini. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
So if you are 40 years old, you will be having expectation to something to happen. At the age 14, you are expecting nothing to happen. That's the difference. But still you are eccentric because of the expectation. Whether you expect nothing or something, exactly the same mistake. But you are happy to report it. You are presenting it to the elders. You are repeating to the virtual people. That means you are not ashamed of. You are not guilty of it. But your mind is conditioned to see nothingness. So when thing happens, you are discouraged. But you are expecting nothing, nothingness appears like a discouragement. That is why the humankind. Whether your nothingness happens, if you are expecting kind of people for the thing, you are discouraged. If the thing happens, if you are expecting the kind of nothingness, discouraged. So everyone is discouraged because everyone is having expectation. So it's a cancer. It's a carcinogenic. So when there is no expectation, no motivation. Dr. Padmasiri, Professor Padmasiri writing, he says motivation theory. We are motivated because of our expectation. If there is no expectation, we are no one. The Buddha make you no one. So your whole appointment will be disappointed. So when I was in university, in the second year, I went to the main library and there was a translation, single version of cyclostyle paper. At that time, printing was not so expensive. And there was one paper article, A4 paper, have an appointment with the disappointment. So brightly written, I got a copy. Recently also I got a copy, I think I lost it, but I would like to have the English version. Because our parents and elders and everyone is asking to have an expectation. So every expectation is a disappointment. Each appointment is a disappointment. So why don't you have an appointment with a disappointment? So you will never get disappointed. So, Achini, I don't know whether you can understand whether I am bragging or whether I am distorting you. I think so, because you appreciate, you accept that you have gone with the expectation, so you are misled. So, therefore, whether expectation is a thing or nothing, no problem. So, we are moving.
Yes, Bhante. Teruvan Sarnai Venerable Bhante. It was sad to hear the cancellation of the Perth retreat, and on Christmas Day wrote a poem combining my thoughts and mindful experiences. Anyway, went on a self-retreat to Janaguru on the 27th. It became a mini retreat amidst lots of barriers like cancellation, power failure and gas problems. Everything went well. It is a different experience altogether. Teruvan Sarnai Venerable Bhante. This poem is dedicated to you. Christmas Memo of a Meditator 2021. Those live in Perth call it the best place on earth. Plan to go on a retreat, which is the year-end retreat. A case of COVID appears, year-end plan disappears. Christmas is done, Santa is gone, Jesus was born, and many roosters gone. I am not dope, still there is hope. Got up at 5, that I am alive. Went on a walk without any talk. Forgot the mask, which is mandatory task. Raced home in a rush, wore the mask in a splash. Offered the life to the triple gem, the guardians of us in human realm. Start the walk towards the park. Know the step, whether it's left or right. Feel the hardness of earth against the softness of soul. Drowsiness sets in. Messing up walking. Walk like a puppet. Good for a show of Muppets. Time is up, so bench by the side. Without hesitance, glide. Erect the body and close my eyes to observe the breath before I die. Drowsy knot sets in, body shaking and shivering. Falls into something like a sleep. Maybe it's asleep. Not quite sure, but mind is alert. Body gets into sloth. Whole thing is like a broth. Watch thoughts coming and going, doing nothing but knowing. Mind is neutral. As a matter of fact, mindfulness is intact. Mindfulness, my friend indeed, and friend in need and indeed, by Dulmini. There's a footnote as well, Bhante. At the retreat, instead of making more sankhara, within Becker's writing poems, when feelings come, watch what happens to the body. Observe that positive thoughts will lead to an expansion of the heart area, and negative thoughts will lead to an contractions. Thus, that means mind consciousness originates in the heart. Thank you, Teruvan Sarnai. That's the end of the poem, Bhante.
So your Buddha Rakkita Amaturu is here. He also had a journey during the corona time, going to Ireland and came back. When did you come back? 22nd, he was with the Christmas, but it was a bad Christmas for us. Here also no gas, no electricity, mask, and a lot of things. People say Sri Lanka bankrupt. But we are very happy. We don't feel any bankruptcy. You have anything message for the Perth people? Listen, Buddha Rakkita, please. I will let you know. They start the retreat from the 23rd to 32nd. And cancellation happens for the Perth only. And there was another wave of corona. And they allowed to come back on the 28th. When they come back, only 8 or 9 came to the Jhana Grove. But the Brisbane, Melbourne, and other people got together, more than 140 people. So I did half of the retreat. Balance is Chandratana Hamro. So this is the one someone disappointed for the... from the Jhana Grove, but they came writing poems and be ready for the Christmas Day, but everyone not return. So now your comments.
Well, I'm sorry I'm not there, but to have helped out with some of the logistical failures that happened. There was, as mentioned, failure in electricity and gas and all kinds of things. So I used to support all these retreats back in the day when I was in Bodhinyana. So I was... quite skillful at making sure that these problems didn't arise. So as Venerable Dhammajiva said, you know, we fail to sometimes see the good situation that we're in, the prosperity, you know, especially I find when people are in kind of prosperous situations, they take it for granted. So a reflection we have every day as monks is to reflect upon our prosperity, that we have the benefit of a hut or the robes or the food. So before we take the food, we reflect carefully on the purpose and the value of the food. We don't take it for granted. And I have to say, having also just returned to Ireland and back again, I'm very used to international travel, but it was much more challenging this time to be traveling. And I really reflected that how much more easy it was in the past to travel and how much more of a challenge it was. And I reflected on my own effort. You know, I wanted to spend some time. It was my mother's 80th birthday, and she had had coronavirus and had been quite sick during the year. So I really wanted to make an effort on her behalf, because I also don't take it for granted. The support I get from my family, even though I don't live with them, I live overseas, I live here in Sri Lanka, I don't take it for granted. So it's quite easy in a prosperous situation to take things for granted and not realize the blessings that we have accrued from our past merits. And that, you know, I also find many people who are in a prosperous situation can be quite disconnected from how fortunate they actually are. What a remarkably prosperous time that they're in. And often I ask people, what is the meaning of this time for them? And most of my friends who are my age have no really meaningful answer, that they're just awake, and every day they go to work, and they're providing for their family, and they have no hobbies, no interests, no, these are particularly men. And, you know, no meaning particularly in life, just supporting their family. And it's if I ask them, you know, they ask me about my life and how it is that that I could have been very prosperous and successful, and I put all of this aside. I could have lived in prosperous places, but I choose to live in this kind of place. Like even this morning, we had a power cut at the end of the last talk. So, you know, it's about meaning. And if you put meaning in the center of your life, then such things as power failures or gas not available or whatever it is become less and less important, because our day-to-day existence has a different purpose and a different meaning. If our meaning is undermined and cut away by lack of power or electricity or something like that, or fuel, then we are very sort of blown around by the circumstances. And I find that through practice, we are cultivating an inner life, and we have an inner universe. And if we can, through these practices, we fortify and solidify these the inner world. But the outer world is something we have no manageability over, and it's going to fare according to its own causes and conditions. So people who are prosperous mostly are just riding on their past good karma, and they're not very smart or not very bright. They're just very fortunate and have done fortunate things in the past, and now they're accruing their merit. So are they using their merit for good or for not so skillful? So in my own life, I had the opportunity to be prosperous and successful, but I put it aside, as I had to tell my mother many times this time recently. You know, I choose not to be prosperous and successful. I choose to follow this path. And, you know, these external circumstances, like whether the electricity is working or not, is not that critical.
Yeah, the gas is in Pali called vata. You understand? Vata is a term for arrogance. Nivata is humble. No gas, you become humble. Nivata is a very, in the Mangala Sutta, it has been mentioned, you must not have put the gas, give a tension and you feel arrogance, you are looking at from the nose.
Puffed up.
Yeah, puffed up. And when there is no gas, so it is simple, down to earth. Nivata. So it's a very best thing I learned in 1977, just to be a simple citizen John. Don't try to be a major or mayor or something like that, just citizen John. And Nilambe, there was a statue mounted upon just like a coconut shell like that, half cube, half ball. And upon that, the John is sitting. So if you toss him, he will just come back and stand still, just like a tumbling Kelly. But there was a big sunglasses. When you put it, he drop, he can't come out. It's a well balance. This is called the citizen John. When there is no blinding, he can stand up. But when there is he wearing sunglasses, a special pair of sunglasses, then you topple him, he can't come out. So likewise, present-day amenities and present-day luxuries made people completely blind. They are off. They don't know how to go back and count to 1, 2, 3, 4. They want to have a calculator. They want to have a computer. So what will happen if the electromagnetic field is going to change? Every computer will go. We had that fear at the turning of the century at the 2000, but nothing happened. Still the computers are working. So bloody fellows, they use body knowledge. So Buddha is a king to be and lived like a beggar, 45 years. Imagine what a blessing, what a peaceful life, what a contented life. He's a king. I mean, cultured and every prosperity is there, but live like a beggar. No one knows. Don't think Buddha is like a big statue, have the aura, every right. No, no one can recognize. So if such a person behaving with the normal people, what a kind of adventure. Present day we are being painted with the Buddha, the long head and the long body and the aura around and every features. With a lot of cases there, no one recognizes him. But wherever he goes, within few seconds, he knows how to let the other knows, I am just a human being. I am not a god. Not like any other religion. He is not beyond the clouds. Down to earth. Because Nivata. So that's why he trained his son, the Rahula, always to expect advices from the others. Daily. So otherwise he would have been a princely person after becoming a monk, because Buddha took him and put into the robes and asked Sariputta to take care. So he's a big shot. He's so humble. So when we are living like down to earth, we are almost kings. The corona made everyone humble. I am so happy. The inflation, no jobs, no gas, no electricity, no dollars. We are just eating the green. We had a Koilakottu. Koilakottu means one of the lassia. How do you call that yam? I don't know. In the Beijing place, we have a lot of yams. We harvest it and we eat it. Not manioca. It's not. It's a runner, and we use the trunk. Lassia is the biota, and it was growing. No one was eating, but after corona, everyone come and harvest it. A lot of greens, no chemicals. Only monkeys are eating, but now monks are eating. So I am so happy. But unfortunately, lay people bring all the material and bring it here. Recently, one person offered us all the condiments he is going to offer. Then I told, don't do it because other people also do. No, I am doing a business. So let me have all condiments. And his relative says, Bante, let him come, otherwise he never come to a monastery. He's a businessman. So therefore, poem is good. I ask Ari to forward it to our e-magazine so that they will consider to publish in the next version. And this will indicate how corona affected the practitioners, how corona affected the Perth people, how the Brisbane people, how the Melbourne people, how the Sri Lankan people. And this talk also, anyone can listen from any place. But no one is listening. They don't know. They come and ask, Bhante, can I speak to you and all? Then I say, why don't you come to the discussion and finish it? So now we have already spent about 30 minutes. So before going to the Pasura Sutta, I would like to invite to Venerable Buddha Rakhita to read the last version of the Tissamitteya. It's a very, very factful one. Tissamitteya Sutta, the last version. Yes, last gatha.
Actually, I look at this.
We can't hear. That is good. Otherwise, we are.
You were complaining about my translation, and I.
Not your translation. It is Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation.
Yeah, I know, but you were blaming me.
No, no, you are. He is depending only one. I don't like.
Okay, so this is Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation of the last verse. When the Muni lives void, indifferent to sensual pleasures. People tied to sensual pleasures envy him as one who has crossed the flood. So again, we can listen to this translation.
Different one.
A different one, yes. This is by Venerable Saddhatissa.
Ammalava Saddhatissa?
Yes.
Oh.
So he goes, the tranquil and solitary sage remains free from sensual desires and has crossed the stream of such tendencies. He is indeed envied by those attached to carnal bonds. And a third translation is by a great English scholar I like very much. His name is Wheeler. No, he's a very academic scholar, a specialist in these old North Indian languages. So people enmeshed in sensual pleasures envy the sage who wanders emancipated, having no regard for sensual pleasures, the flood crosser. So this is a more literal translation of the Pali.
So in the Singhalese version says not envious. They say they look forward and sensuous beings they are pleased with.
Yeah, but three of the translators say
all
envy.
Says,
they all say envy.
The Pali word is gatita and it has been given another version, gadita. Maramachatta. Burmese says gadita, and the accepted one Sri Lanka gati, gatita. Gatita is kind of a connect and that like a knot, and translated as kamativiti. What is you? You also have?
It says,
Mike.
This is a translation by Ñānadīpa, the famous Dutch bhikkhu that passed away.
Ñānadīpa,
yeah.
He was by heart. He was all Sutta Nipata is by heart.
And this one I use is Kamesu Kaditta Pajati. And it also uses envy as well.
Envious.
Yeah.
But the singular one, it says Kamativi. All the sentient beings are very happy and very, they say, envious to the arahants, those who have no bondages and no. Cross the flood and there is no desire. But they are full of desire. But still they envy that the people cross this thing. And he explained the last time, I don't know, Buddha Rakhita or someone, he told two friends get into the ordain.
Yes.
Becoming.
Yes.
And one disrobe and become a householder.
Yes.
The ordained remained person already becoming an arahant.
Yes.
He is asking Buddha, how such a ordained person have the sexual desire and disrobe and go and have a family life with so much of troubles? The last Buddha says, still you, mind you, he likes you. He envies you. Your friend he's loving having a family problems and all the no gas, no electricity, corona, everything. But he envy you person cross the flood. No desire, so therefore you must have a room in your heart for your friend, even if he is disturbed, even if he is a householder, that is how the compassion or rather wisdom is spreading. Anything?
I don't. As I said, I don't totally agree with that.
If I take the word envy at heart,
then envy has a more negative meaning in English.
That the hatred is there.
If I think about the mudita as being superior to other
joy.
Yes, sympathetic joy. I mean, it's in a class of meditations like loving kindness, compassion, mudita, and upeka. So we have to understand that envy is a very deep rooted defilement. And I have taught mudita formally a lot. So for some reason, I have a sensitivity towards envy, and also towards appreciative joy. And I do find, like, for instance, as people are elevated in the world, say, for instance, you become more and more famous or well-known or renowned, yet people are, say, appreciative. Oh, yeah, no, that person is very talented. But also there's an envy. There can be a double edge. And I find that, if you look at really successful people, often it's just how thick a skin they have towards the envy that people have towards them. Because otherwise they will be just pulled down. So it's kind of in Australia, they say the head that the tall poppy is chopped off, or if you put your head over the parapet, it will be shot off. And it's actually this the assailing of envy that keeps a lot of people down and from moving forward. So while people may appreciate at one level the efforts of we'll just say the religious people, but on another level they can be also kind of envious or sarcastic or depreciatory and a double-edged compliment or something like that. You hear or feel that, and so to be peerless, to be one without peers, to stand alone, like the rhinoceros's horn, one of the earlier suttas in this collection again, is it takes a tremendous ability to cultivate solitude. Whereas if one is lonely, one will be stung by the envy of others or by these double compliments or something like that.
The translation also, I did a mistake. The term is not gatita, it's the term is pihayanti.
Yeah.
Ogatinnas pihayanti kamesu gatita paja. The people, those who are engaged and entrapped in the sensuous pleasure, is envious, or it says the translation is kamati vek.
So
this kamata is not pure.
No.
It is having some kind of a jealous.
Yes.
Jealousy is there.
Yes. So people will always say, I don't have stress. You don't have stress. Yeah. We're in the lay life. We have stresses and family and children, and you monks have no stress. And so the first line is when the muni lives void. Here, this word void is a multiple meaning word. Like void is without entrapment, or it's a void meaning free, lives in freedom really. Void means freedom from possessions, freedom from electricity, freedom from fuel shortage. Free because they're not depending on external things. When you depend upon external things, then envy will naturally arise, because you're comparing yourself. It's a comparative feeling. You compare yourself to others, and you feel shame. So you look at a monk, and that monk isn't entrapped by the normal family life, and you go, "Oh, I really appreciate that monk, but he doesn't have the stresses that we have in the lay life." And so on. They'll denigrate you with a double-edged compliment. So it's, and indifferent here, as I mentioned, indifferent to sensual pleasures isn't meaning numb. Like, it's not like that we're callous, and whether there's electricity or no fuel or no food doesn't matter to us. It matters a lot, because we understand the difference between needs and wants. So we need food, and we need shelter, and we need clothing, we need medicines, but we're not want for things. We have a freedom from want, not a freedom from needs. And again, people will not understand that, and they'll say, "Oh, what do you want with that? And why do you need that? And why, monks don't use those things." And it's a kind of a shaming strategy. And it's not that we are indifferent, meaning numb. We're indifferent, meaning we are not gauging or valuing ourselves on those external things. You know, we have in the two arrows of we have pain, but it's the suffering is sort of optional. What we do with the pain is what distinguishes wisdom. You know, the fool will take pain and make it worse, and the wise person will take the pain and not turn it into suffering.
So we can take time for understand the term pihayanti in etymological meaning, and spruha is the Sanskrit term. Spruha is looking forward and appreciating, and may or may not with the desire, may or may not with the hatred, because every layperson or rather sentient being have a hope regarding arahanthood, but still he is with a defiled mind, but he is hoping that. Therefore, he is looking forward, but still there may be some jealous, there may be some hatred-based mentality, because he is not arahant yet. But he is looking forward arahantship or arahant. That is called spruha. Spruha means you are motivated. You are motivated to have this goal. So it is not pure, but have an appointment to have a disappointment. Have no one to become no one. So therefore, the pihayanti is easily we can sort it out, but the envy is a wrong translation, definitely wrong, because it is giving only one shade of meaning. So therefore, I will take time. I will let you know what is the term meaning of the pihayanti, because whenever Jnanananda is taking this term and explaining how spruha, pihayanti, is looking forward, its outlook. So therefore, if someone achieves that goal, definitely you are envious about. Definitely you are desire. But because I am not yet arahant, because I know the theoretical maximum, ideology. He achieved, and that is the state. So therefore, still I have some defilements, still I can look. So in Bhikkhuni Sutta, the Buddha is appreciating that. You must have that kind of a desire to become an arahant. But you are doing it with the defiled mind, for still mind is not completely pure. But that piha paccha upajjati, motivation is coming. But for the moment you have desire, for the moment we have the wrong view, for the moment you have hatred, because you are not arahant. But this goal, that outlook is appreciated, but this is completely telling, it's envious. Difficult to agree, because it's only part and partial.
No, I agree the importance of for instance, in the Dhammadaja Sutta, where the Buddha, he gives, it's one of the purists that we chant at night here, you know, this importance of a banner and how the robe, the monk's robe, is a banner. And these days, like again, traveling in London and in Ireland, you know, there are no religious signs anywhere. So to be a monk wearing the banner, I believe there is a spruha or an opportunity for some people to be inspired. I know in my own life, you know, sometimes coming across monks or even the mendicants in India, the shramana, they could be very inspiring because they were so going against the flow or the current of life of what was normally considered an auspicious or wealthy or prosperous life. You know, it's a very complicated word to translate, and to just say that it's pure spruha and it's pure inspiration would also be to neglect the other meanings and the complexity actually the deep skill that it takes to metamorphose or to change, transform envy into appreciative joy. And we can see why appreciative joy is such a valued meditation, because no matter how you know, skillful or talented people are, at times they can still have that envy towards somebody who's even better than them, and they can be really quite a double. Like it's a very complex set of emotions, and to have this pure mudita, to have spruha is a very, very lofty thing. So I mean, I can understand why the translators would have also translated it as envy, because it is such a complex emotion and more base than pure.
So when the 14th UN Vesak Day was celebrating in Sri Lanka. And same day, it happened me to go to New York, you know, say, New York Vihara. They are also celebrating Vesak. Bhikkhu Bodhi is the main speaker. And I also participating. I rushed, plane also disturbed, and I went there. And then Bhikkhu Bodhi is telling, 20 years ago when I come to Sri Lanka, the America, like Bhikkhu, when you're going, people come and joke, are you a girl or a guy? They can't understand wearing this kimono-like thing. So they are looking down. What happened? He's a Jew. He's an American. But as a bhikkhu, he was trained and born in Sri Lanka as a bhikkhu. Then he says, now he says, still the people chasing and running, Bhante, where are you going? Can you give you a lift? Can I give you a lift? So much of changes within 20 years. At the beginning, Bhante Gunaratna also, one day going to the restaurant, they raised the kimono and see what kind of a clothing. And he shouted, no, I thought you are a girl. But even a girl matron can't come and raise this thing and see. But they can't understand. So he go to the island and behave like a monk. And it's like a challenge for the normal people, normal youngsters, basically boys. But there's a kind of a thing, he's a kind of against the grain guy. He's not coming with the normal grain. So imagine the Buddha. First see a samana at the age of 29, he decided to disrobe. Because he is the real silent revolutionary person. Or silent, how do you call, rebellion. Begging. And the people have envious towards you, but still give food. Still give some clothings. You still give some shelters. And you become sick, they will take care also. Because you are human. But you are a silent rebellion. So monks, don't believe monks. They are kind of people. They are kind of people. They don't like this corona. They don't like this gas cut. They don't like this no electricity. But they are free. The corona come or go. Gas, no gas is coming and going. They don't like. They don't care. It's a person of the householders. They have to take care about us. We are full time on the social service. But whenever necessary, we can go to the forest and withdraw. So that is the social meaning of liberation. Many people don't like it. No harm. But the Buddha says they have kind of a appreciation with the envious or with the gladness, whatever may be appreciation. Therefore, have a room for your friend, though he who disrobed and running a family life, but he is having a kind of a good, but not completely envy. So therefore, it's just a shade of meaning, but definitely, we'll say that Pihayanti. We are taking and checking the dictionary. The dictionary writer also a biased person. Anyone giving the etymology is only historical person. But why don't we can't give a meaning? Always referring to the book and the scholars and kind of thing. So you have to read the whole Tipitaka where the Buddha used Pihayanti. And Buddha says the people understand. You see, now, so I don't know the term meaning. Ferrari is a good car. I thought it's a Ferrari is for a name for a robe. So I heard one person gave up the Ferrari. So I just learned and I saw one day when I was in America a Ferrari. And you have a desire to have a Ferrari. So therefore you are trying your hard, otherwise you won't get it. Exactly, if you have that kind of a desire to become arahant, also a world matter. Have a Ferrari, you are a beautiful girl, or arahanthood. And they are striving. And that envious towards arahantship is appreciated. That is in Bhikkhuni Passe Sutta. It's good because you'd kill the desire by desire. It's a beautiful way the Buddha put. You kill the desire by desire. You kill the envious by envious. Because you have your hope.
and you are chasing behind, and then the day you become arahant, you lose your all desire, you hold your the enviousness and the, all the kind of thing. So therefore, envy is a worldly kind of translation, not giving any chance for arahanthood. And Buddha says, don't worry, your friend already disrobed. And the family has little room for him. Because he's looking forward to, he's appreciating you. So that is what I thought of discussing this last stanza before going to the next one. Now I invite Venerable Buddha Rakhita to continue to the next sutta, please. No, that we finished. Tissamitta is utterly on sexuality. Then we are going to the Pasura Sutta.
This Pasura Sutta is the next one. And just as a background, there was a wanderer named Pasura, and he was a great debater. And so he liked to challenge people and monks and mendicants to debate. So he would he was very good at like arguing and finding the counterpoint to any idea that the monks or the mendicants would have at the time. So he was just very, very good at debating. And I've met people in my life like that, like where they have this tremendous talent to sort of debate with people and argue the point, like maybe they're kind of naturally set up to be like lawyers or barristers or something like that. They can always find the hole in somebody's argument and exploit that hole and make it very big and make their argument crumble. So in this case, he came to Sawati, this debater, and he came across the monks of the Buddha, Venerable Sariputta, who were out on alms, and he decided that he would challenge these monks to a debate, and that he would be victorious, and that he would enjoy the ascetic's defeat. So he put up a kind of a banner, a sort of a challenge, which was a branch of a branch of a rose apple, and the rose apple is actually a symbol. The Jambu Dipa is the name for India itself. Jambu. So, yeah, a jambu is the rose apple, and he challenged Venerable Sariputta to a debate. So needless to say, Sariputta was much more sharp and he could point out the flaws in the argument. So this sutta is a discussion or a teaching by the Buddha on this whole idea about debating or fault-finding or arguing or debating with people. And he tackles this kind of attitude, and actually, as a stage of in the stages of vipassana, one comes across this kind of mind state where one becomes very pedantic or very particular about points of the Dhamma and points of the teaching, and sometimes you can meet people who become very energized to debate and argue with you about the teachings and about these points in the teachings. And so it can also be a comment, this sutta can also be a comment on stages of insight itself. And when people come into the teachings, they can, some people have a mind where they very quickly pick up a lot of the suttas or Abhidhamma or something like that. They become quite scholarly. And then they start to fire all of these teachings back at you like a weapon. So the first verse goes, "Here alone is purity, they declare. They say there is no purification in other teachings, declaring whatever they depend on to be excellent. Many are entrenched in separate truths." So again, this is a very relevant point to this modern time, where it's kind of like an evolution going on within society, of where you can have a lot of information, but you don't know what is the true teaching or what is truth. And as one famous political commentator said, we have alternative facts. So we can all have alternative facts. We can all have alternative opinions. And again, another famous quote was, we can all have opinions, but we don't all have facts. And there is a distinction to be made between people with expert opinions and people who have very superficial opinions. So, for instance, I was teaching meditation recently, again in Ireland, and I was teaching it to a 16-year-old. Well, I was teaching to a bunch of children between about 9 and 16, and the eldest, a 16-year-old girl, in the middle of a guided meditation, said out loud, "Well, that's just your opinion. That what I was teaching was just my opinion." And what I was really struck by in this utterance of hers was this kind of intense contempt towards a person who had an expert opinion on how to teach, on how meditation was, whereas this was her first encounter with meditation. And sure, she has an opinion too. She has her own perspective. She has her own lived experience. But it isn't expert, or it isn't knowledge, or it isn't wise, or it isn't experienced. So this whole mindset and this sutta is really tackling into this kind of an area. So here alone is purity, they declare. So this is the stance that I am right and you are wrong. And that there is no purification in other teachings. And again, we have this problem that once we meet a teaching and understand a teaching, we find it very hard to understand the counterpoint or the other argument. And as John Stuart Mill said again, that you don't really understand your own argument if you don't understand the other person's argument. So you need to be able to understand both sides of the argument before you can really say you legitimately understand the argument at all. So declaring whatever they depend on to be excellent. So whatever, you know, whatever I know, my perspective, my stance is excellent. And obviously yours is not. It's inferior. So many are therefore entrenched in separate truths. He calls this in separate truths. So again, like I said, that political commentator, we're in alternative facts. So the next verse, desiring debate.
Before going to that, I had two things related to what you mentioned. One day, when Jnanaponika was invited to Germany by a reputed team, and he was giving a talk, and 16-year-old girl got up and says, "Mr. Jnanaponika, who are you to sit on this stage and telling everything like omnipotent and omnipresent?" Mr. Jnanaponika. Then he says, "I am sorry that I am not giving this thing. I am being invited by this company or this thing, and they are the one told this is what I am giving my opinion." And that is the way. And one day, Nisargadatta Maharaj, he was just passed away in, I think, 80s or 70s. He was a jnani in India. And our people used to go there, Nilamba people sometimes goes there. And he's giving a just simple talk. He's known as B.D. Baba. He's a BD business. And so he, once in a way, he have a BD. And have a bhajan, everything. So he has a very devoted Hindu supporter. And he came one day and asked exclusive, private and confidential interview. But the Nisargadatta Maharaj is a very open person. He says, "Jnani, that you are talking highly, but you can't give up BD. You know BD? The local listing?" "Oh, yes, yes, yes. I see you are not smoking. Can you give up that not smokingness?" "You can't. Is you taken as a grant, you can into grant, and not smoking is good. But you don't know you are in a such a cleavage." "Yes, I smoke, yes. But you are non-smoker, ardent non-smoker." And then recently there was an atheist. He's fighting and arguing and everything. And one another person says he also having some kind of faith on atheism. More than the faith on God. So Buddha says, "Idameva sacchang mogamanya." This is the only truth, balance is wrong. So Buddha says, don't follow that kind of friend. Don't follow that kind of teachers. He can say, "Your opinion is this, your opinion is this, his opinion is this. I'm also having an opinion, so when I'm going wrong, please correct me. But I will let you know whenever you are going wrong." So then we are constructive. No, you are not my opinion. Get out and go. I get excluded. So therefore the Buddha, even with the omniscient knowledge, he never denied the other six leaders at that time. Satsastru. They were there, no harm. And nowadays, you can read about these six leaders only through the Buddhist literature. They are dead and gone. There's no lineage because they are finished. Nigantanatha Buddha, his knowledge is everything preserved in Buddhism. There are a lot of suttas because Buddha is comparing it and say, he says like that, he says he is omnipotent, he is omniscient kind of thing. But this kind of thing happens. But people attribute me also, but I am not always omniscient, but if I can focus to something, I can focus. That is a different issue, but not all the time I am not omniscient. He claims he is. So then why dogs are biting him? You would have seen it before. So present day, the interview, the media people, masters, can kill anyone. I hate bloody fellows. No shame. They don't have no fear. They are the only professional no shame, no fear people. In Sinhala we call Jadamadhyay, not Janamadhyay. They are manipulating even the government leaders, even the economic high rankers. They have nothing, just fighting. So whenever they are going to come, I just tell them, please, whenever you shut your mouth, you are no one. You are just lip service. Shut your mouth up at paint. Who you are to present me to the people? I can go to the people. You are not necessary. Get out. No mediator. So my interviews never published in media because I just criticize, the person is questioning me. Who are you? Why you are presenting me? I am a normal common person. I can go to people. Get out your camera. Get out your question. Meditate, will you? You can't meditate as far as you are opening your mouth. Simple mindfulness is not there. No, Bhante, this is not mindfulness, this is a decision. No, I don't like. I like sitting and mindful, be here. Please, come everyone, sit with me. You get out and we are having a meditation session. Finished. The bloody fellows, one day person came here shouting, Dear Bhante, I appreciate you because you are not taking meat and your thing is vegetarian and kind of thing. Then come and ask, I can sit with you. No, I am a person appreciating it. Then I told, I am once in a way I eat fish, meat, everything, because now I am not eating because no one is giving me. I can eat even a pig alive. No problem. Bhante, don't tell it like that. That we are appreciating your... Then I told you, are appreciating the wrong person. I'll tell you one thing. You are going and giving talks. I will tell you, if you can shut your mouth in 2 weeks, you will burst your brain. If there is no audience, finished. Bhante, no one challenged me like that. I am challenging you. Don't come here. Have 2 weeks. Shut your mouth up. They can't. So arguing people like that. But anyway, it gives, because sometimes we too argue, sometimes 2 hours. So my blood sugar level goes down very nicely because we are walking, arguing. He is forcing me. I am senior, I am Sri Lankan, I am adamant, so we argue. I mean, agree to disagree, no problem. I am getting sharper. Earlier I had Venerable Dhammaranzi. Wherever I go, I have someone, so I shake hand first and then argue. No harm. So we are learning a lot, therefore this sutta is good. We can go to one more stanza, please. If anyone is having some ideas, if you wish to express, welcome.
So the next is, desiring debate, having plunged into the assembly, in pairs they accuse one another of being a fool. Those of different convictions assert their argument, desiring praise, claiming to be skilled. So again, this captures again the present time of this media and how it is a question of claiming skills, desiring praise, desiring debate, plunging the assembly into pairs, and that they accuse one another of being a fool. So this really captures it, and it's a form of entertainment. Again, to come back to, I think Rupert Murdoch was being challenged by his shareholders 2 years ago after the election in the United States, where Fox News were driving on their factual side. They claimed that Biden had won the election, but on their opinion side of the news service, they were claiming that it was a loss or a stolen election for Trump. So his shareholders were challenging Rupert Murdoch to say that it was not true. And he said, of course, it's not true, but this is an entertainment channel. It's not a news channel. So if you don't want to be shareholders in an entertainment company, you should leave. So we should understand that a lot of this debating and we should understand the agenda underneath these things. It's not to elucidate truth or facts or news, but to actually just stir up people, create agitation, and be entertaining. So when I read the news now, I always learn to read, what is the facts and what is the entertainment side of it. What can we figure out as to be true, and what can we understand as just spin or opinion? So this way, it has liberated me very much from getting agitated from reading the news or just reading the headlines. I don't spend that much time trying to understand too much about the news. It can be quite hard to follow, or not useful in other than facts. And I found the same challenge actually when I was traveling, that it was very hard to separate out what was actually the requirements for my travel. Whereas everybody had an opinion and told me that, oh, you need this and you need that and you need the other thing. And you just had to, even the news reportage on what the requirements were, the mandates were all quite incorrect. And I had to really very carefully scrutinize the government websites and even call the airport on multiple occasions. I had to call the Colombo Airport here, I had to call the Irish Airport to confirm what was actually required at the airport for travel. So these are very practical points that this sutta is explaining, that we need to be careful and able to discriminate between facts and opinions, and also the agenda of the different participants in any discussion or debate, whether they're sincere and or whether they're just entertainers.
So I just give the single translation of this sutta instead of the English one. Ideva suddhi idavadiyanti nanyesu dhammesu visuddhi mahu yangnisita tatta subhang vadana pacheka satchasu sputu nivitta. Whenever Jnananda called this pacheka satcha putu nivitta, not the main core truth, but the peripheral thing are being appreciated by the commoners. But there is a hard core. The commoners can't go into that. They are just meddling with the periphery. The translation is, anyone who is associating a leader or a message or dispensation, they say, this is auspicious, what my teacher is telling, what my group is telling, what my cult group is telling. Pacheka drushti satyanni basagat boho bamunu vitnam. But some other people have another cult group, another teacher, another dispensation. They say, this is the truth, what I am telling, but you are not so auspicious. You are not so good. So this is the way. So we individual become, because I know he do not know, like me. I am the person he knows, but he can help me, but I am having that opinion. He is wrong, I am correct. Then he always try to say, Bhante is always bragging, but he don't know. I know. But as far as we know, each other, we are growing. I mentioned, the day he mentioned the news and entertainment, it was a completely revolutionary for me, because I was hating news. Exactly like Rupert Murdoch. They are misleading. Now read that Fauci is what he's doing.
how the senator is blackguarding the fellow, but the argument is going. You created the corona. You misled the people. You distorted the website. You are a liar. Top class people. Well, it's a good entertainment. Utter entertainment, and it's always making headlines. The day he mentioned, I saw his personality change. I mean, in the argument only, he taught me, Bhante, you are always following the conspiracy theory. You are always wrong. So you are blackguarding the news. But the news is not news. It's an entertainment. Huh? Yes. And yesterday I saw another caption from the VN or something like that, the new line, which is very popular maybe in my website, my YouTube, and it says how to make entertainment, how to enjoy the situation. It's worst. But there's an element of entertainment, and that is what the Pollyanna is telling. You must try to find a reason to be glad under any circumstances. It has been pointed out by Upandita Sayadaw. And he says, and a copy was first I borrowed from the Sayadaw's personal library. I read it. And now I have few copies. And Eleanor Porter, she introduced glad game. Whatever the situation, there is a reason to be glad. The Pollyanna is a desperate, the orphan, no mother, no father, brought up in the auntie's house, considered as an unwanted child. Auntie is a billionaire. Ultimately, she win the whole village and the household and the marriage cut also prepared for the auntie. And ultimately, she broke her leg. Now she finds she can't be happy. She cannot be glad. And the book is finished. And then Pollyanna grown up, different story. And that I appreciate the whole our Satipasala, our mindful school. There's a one caption. You must try to find a reason to be glad under any circumstances. So glad game is one thing. So no gas, good. No electricity, good. No vegetable from the upcountry or foreign, good. Because at least we are eating our green. So we are making horticulture now. I invite everyone to come to the Kaduvela and see. Children come and collect everything and make contour tower, compost towers, 3 feet, 4 feet, with the bamboo strips, and fill all the fallen leaves and mud from the silt from the river. Plants are growing like anything. And they are very happy to handle mud. The parents are not allowing. And they are very happy to jump into the river because there is a crocodile in the river. So alternatives. At our young age, we had it. Nowadays, we see what happened to the children. They are completely like a battery system chicken for broiler chickens. But now corona, everyone is being in front of the computer. They open the computer, they run away. So everyone knows the child is in the Zoom, but he is really in playing. Yesterday I met private school master, headmaster. He says 40% children lost. We can't pay payment for the teachers. But they are not happy with learning, with the Zoom. And they don't like classroom. But they are happy camps. They are happy to go to field and do all the kind of thing. And they are creativity, poems, you don't believe. But therefore, the Rupus Murdoch was telling is partly I am practical. I make everything hobby-like, everything like entertainment, like everything like glad game. Earlier I thought it's a dirty conspiracy. Make entertainment from news. No, otherwise we have to die. We are laughing and we are cracking jokes because you know how to make glad game. So it's time up. So thank you very much. So the other days we have only very few people, very few monks. Today we had nine people. It's a good day. Thank you very much for the participation. Next time we will proceed from the third stanza onward. Sukhi hontu.
Kamami Kamitabhang. Supatitta, Supatitta. We are getting cut off from the Zoom.